It is great to be here at the start of the term. It's September, can you believe it? It is, it's September. Have you had a good summer? Yes, Matt, I've had a good summer. Have you been on holiday yet? Put your hands if you haven't been on holiday yet. There's quite a few of you have not been on holiday yet. Okay, well, I'm not really feeling particularly sympathetic. I had mine in July, and it seems like an age ago, but it was very nice, wasn't it, Alison? Yes, Matt, it was. And we've had a good time. We've had a good summer. Last week, Alison enjoyed celebrating 20 years married, which is pretty good. Yeah. This is going to sound really rubbish on the recording, isn't it? Yes, I love my wife, and yes, she got diamonds. Okay, that's for the recording. Brilliant to be able to speak. We're currently in a five-part series. This is the fourth part. Mike Spence, who leads the 7 p.m. meeting, is going to be speaking live in all three of our services next week, so that'll be terrific as well. But remember, this five-parter is designed to help us to be more convinced of the reliability and the authority of God's Word, the Bible. That's the point. We want to raise faith for understanding what the Bible is, how it relates to us here and now, and what does that mean for us. I want you to remember that we're a church in a family of churches that is absolutely committed to a careful balance of Word and Spirit. If you've been around church circles for 30 years, you'll know what we mean by that, and that is that we take this book seriously enough to let it be a guide for us and allow God to speak to us through it. We also love and enjoy the Holy Spirit. We believe in a God of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that the role of the Holy Spirit is to be our helper, our strengthener, the one that comes alongside and encourages. He's the one that helps us with gifts of the Spirit. We had some words of knowledge in the 9 o'clock meeting, some words of encouragement. I expect that will be happening again this morning. We love it. We love that that God is a healing God, and so we will always pray for people at the end of our meetings. We love the Word, and we love the Holy Spirit. And so we want you to know that. We want you to know that the two are inseparable, okay? They go hand in hand for us to enjoy God and to see Him more famous in this city. And so this morning I'm going to chat to us about the topic of how God speaks, a speaking God. And during the course of the morning, I'm going to interview my friend Danny, who's right in front of here, and that's going to be quite practical, and you'll understand where I'm going with that a little bit later on. As in the notices were mentioned, we're going to be going into a new series in 2 weeks' time called Consider. What we actually did is that across all our Alpha courses, we asked people to write down some of their most taxing questions about the Christian faith. And we've designed a series to tackle some of those questions. Now, you might be thinking, oh, you know, I know this stuff. You know, it's, you know, it'd be things like, what about the dinosaurs, or all that kind of deal. Look, the point is that it will nourish and refresh you as a Christian, as a believer. If you're not a believer here this morning, if you're someone who's on your early days of your journey, this will be brilliant for you to understand where we're coming from, what the Bible has to say, what God says about some of these big subjects. Really looking forward to that. Just before I crack on, I want to just commend a couple of things to you. They're in two categories, the category of prayer, first of all, and then people. And first of all, prayer. Let me just reference that subject. We've got loads of opportunities for prayer. Mum's prayer, men's prayer, Saturday morning prayer, and we've got corporate prayer where we want you to join with us as a team of elders across all of our four locations and pray with us. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next week. If you're going to have to choose out of one of those, some of you will be able to say, I'm there for all three. I've been there. They're dynamic. They're amazing. I see people I've not seen for years. Love them. Brilliant. Be at all three if you can. But if you're going to choose, come to the Thursday night. I'm being a bit cheeky here because I've got the privilege of leading it on Thursday. And so I'd love you to be there to support me, to show Shoreham in force. They're always brilliant, superb times. Just want to commend those to you. The reason that we do these weeks of prayer at the start of times like September and the new year is because we want to be serious with God and serious with our community and say we want to stay tuned to the voice of God. We want to hear and outwork all that He's saying and doing among us. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because that is our desire in that. Secondly, people. And last term we said farewell to a few families who've moved on for a whole range of reasons. And one of those much-loved families are Matt and Joe Simmons, who are now on the ground in Amsterdam, absolutely embryonic, beginning to find their feet, learn the language. The kids are starting to go up to school. They're learning how to get their clogs on in the morning. Not really. But that kind of thing. They're on the ground. And hey, I've got a treat for you this morning. Run VT.
Hello.
I was like looking. Turn it off.
Oh, we're rolling. The cameras are rolling. Hello. Hoi.
Hello.
How you doing, CCK Shoreham? We're back.
Again.
On video. Well, we just thought we'd give you a little update on how things are going in Amsterdam. So we've been here now for...
Nearly 7 weeks.
So the kids started school 2.5 weeks ago. So the older two are at a language school at the moment, just... learning Dutch, and Annie has gone straight into Dutch school, and she is also learning Dutch. And we've had a few ups and downs, but they're doing really well.
Great.
We're very, very proud parents. Thank you so much for sending Simon and Lottie.
It's great to have them with us. Thank you.
Yep. So they arrived on Monday this week, and we've just been helping them unpack and get in, and they've been laying floor in their new house and getting to know people. So they're doing really well. I'm sure they'd send their love. They haven't, but I'm sure they would.
Great. We just love you to pray for a few things for us. We're loving being in the city. It's an incredible place. Be great just to pray that just us as a team would just start beginning to get to know our neighbours more, just keep sharing life with them, keep just enjoying spending time with them, get to introduce them to Jesus.
Pray for just new people to come and join our team. So we're in touch with a number of different people across the city who are interested in what we're doing. I'm also talking with lots of different pastors and getting to know lots of people here. So please just pray that more people will come and get involved and behind and involved.
And behind. And just pray for all our kiddies as they begin to settle at schools. Like Matt said, the girls are doing incredibly well. And then... our friends Tom and Chloe have got a little boy just settling into Dutch school too. So just pray for our kids. Just pray that they would have impact in their schools and in their classes and in their playgrounds. But just that they would, that they just really feel peaceful and at home in this place.
Yeah, we've been gathering people through August just to hang at our house and have food together and get to know one another. So we had about 20 of us. The Sunday before this one, or recently anyway, including kids. So it was great to have a little crowd with them, and there's more people moving in. So just keep praying as we will get started with some kind of more deliberate meetings and praying together and opening up the Bible together. So just pray that those are really fruitful times and God begins to speak to us as we begin to see this little mini church grow and shape and see what God has for us in the future.
So we're praying for you guys. We love you guys. Keep praying for us and look forward to hearing from you soon. Bye.
Tot ziens.
Doei.
Fantastic. Oh, come on. I know they can't hear us, but we know we love them very much. And why are we doing this? Why start a new thing? You know, why put feet on the ground in another Western European city? Well, because God said to do it, and we want to be obedient to the voice of God. We want to say, we take you seriously, God. You're a speaking God. And what he initiates, he completes. And so we do love them, and we will support them and honor them and enjoy watching their journey. The second reason we do it is because we want more people to come to know the gospel. We want more people to come to know Jesus. That's why they're in Amsterdam. You heard that. They want to get to know their neighbors so that they can introduce them to Jesus. And that is what is exciting about being in a church like this that is on mission and loving the voice of God. In fact, people are finding their way into our community all the time, and largely that's through relationship with you, which is superb. In the last term, we've seen no less than six people make very clear and decisive decisions to follow Jesus, which is absolutely great. Four of those have been in our 7 p.m. meeting, which the term before that, we didn't have a 7 p.m. meeting. Four people have come to know Jesus, and I personally find that phenomenally exciting. Remember that the church is a body, and we're firstly dependent upon God, and he puts us in a community that knocks lumps off us. It's a means of grace to us. When you join a church like this, you find that you're not just joining a Sunday club, but actually people are interested in your lives. They want to understand the condition of your heart when it comes to matters of faith. So that's what it means to be connected to a church like this. I just want to show you some pictures of some people that today, in fact, are coming into membership. Steve and Joan Norris. Woo! Yes. Roger and Dipti Xander. And Nick and Jane Ramirez. Brilliant. What's exciting about this is that we baptised Nick and Jane just now, and they're in. They're in to membership. And you're thinking, well, why? What does that mean? Well, actually, it's simply a joining of hearts. It's someone saying, I love this church. I've found my feet in its community. I'm finding myself giving myself and my time and my money and my energy to building something that's worthwhile, because I know that God's in it. I know that God is with us. And if you're saying, well, that's me, well, then come and chat to me about membership. We want you to come under the servant leadership of the team here. We want you to just know that your outworking of your life, this is a safe environment. This is a safe place in which we want you to flourish and to grow in the things of God. One final person I want to bring to your attention before we get cracking, and here's a little picture. Oh, look at that. Woo! Yeah. We welcomed Noah Maximus yesterday at just after midnight, 7 weeks early, which is well early. He's going to be in the care of a special baby unit. And but mum and dad are doing absolutely brilliantly. Noah was 5 pounds and 12 ounces, which is really healthy, really healthy. I think that's why they called him Maximus. But I don't know, that's not probably not true. But who knows, it might be true. But I know that Hannah and Mark are doing really well. The whole family are so excited. And yeah, awesome, really superb. So, people. Wonderful. Let me just dive straight in then. We're doing Reading Between the Lines, the Speaking God. If you've got a Bible, why don't you turn to, I was going to say page 1001, but why don't you turn to the book of Hebrews? That's the 19th book in the Bible, in the New Testament actually, and I'd love you to read with me. I'm going to read on the screen. I can see it in front of me right here. Here we go. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Let me just pray. God, I want to thank you for this book that's on our fingertips. Lord, thank you that it's authoritative, it's living, it's active. Thank you that it's superintended and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to say, God, we want to dive into your word, and we want to learn how to trust it more, to use it and wield it as the sword that it is. Thank you, God, that you make us alive, and we find scripture coming alive to our hearts and minds as we dive into it. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help us with that right now. Make my words clear and full of incisive activity, we pray. Amen. So remember this series, we're just recapping. The explicit purpose is to raise your confidence and enjoyment in the Bible as God's word. And to raise faith, particularly this morning, for you to understand that God is a clear and effective communicator. There it is. He's not aloof or far off, but he's here and he's involved. And let me just start by addressing a common objection. Is it possible for there to be a personal God? That's an interesting question. Maybe that's what you're grappling with. Maybe that one's really niggling with you this morning. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why not just randomness? Now, in answering this question, we don't necessarily prove God, but what I think we do is that we actually help ourselves eliminate some answers which just, to me, don't add up. Here we go. I reckon there are three answers to this question. Number one, here's the first answer. It all came from nothing. Quite a lot of people will often say that. If that's the case, good luck defending that position. There's no logic there. Even leading scientists are now coming to the conclusion that something is in play. Personality, things, people, emotions, the things that we can touch and see and taste, all of these things, does that really all come from the impersonal? Can you really take that on board? Can you take that on board? Really? The impersonal? In other words, something started it off, but it wasn't personal. You know, there was matter, and then there was this energy that got added, and then there was this huge amount of time, and then these incredible odds. It's kind of sounding dubious, isn't it, even when I'm saying it now. And then there's a third reason, and as Christians, I believe that this third reason is the real deal. Here it is. There is an infinite personal cause behind the whole universe. Hang on, you're saying then there's a personality then? Is that what you're saying? Yes, I am saying that. That person has created everything, and if that's true, then surely there is a purpose and even communication. The answers are to be found in the Word of God. What he has to say is good news, and it's encouragement to us this morning. I know that God's going to speak to many people this morning. I know it. I knew that it would be true in the 9, and I'm trusting God for the 7 as well. But I also know that God will speak to many hearts and individuals this morning as we crack on. So it says, God spoke to our fathers in many ways and at many times. The deal is that God is communicating constantly. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he says, the invisible God has made himself known in his nature through what is seen. Nature in all of its magnificence. I loved it that we sang that Chris Tomlin song earlier, indescribable, beautiful, from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. And try and imagine that for the minute. You know, have you ever been on a climbing expedition where you get to the peak and you stand there, something's going on in your heart. I don't know what it is, but I think it might be God. And Alison and I, we went whale watching in New Zealand a few years back, and as we were motoring out from the shore, the water was about 100 foot deep, and you could kind of vaguely see it. And then suddenly the water went black. And like, what's going on there? Well, we'd just gone over a cliff edge that was under the water, and it was only a mile deep. Just phenomenal. The depths of the sea. That's why the whale's coming close to the land, because they can swim comfortably in this vast ocean. Creation is revealing your majesty, from the colours of fall to the fragrance of spring. Woke up this morning, went downstairs, cup of tea, opened the back door and just stood. And what a beautiful morning. The colours of fall. It's that time of year again, isn't it, where all the leaves are changing. It's a bit chillier outside. What a beautiful morning. Just standing there and feeling, yes, God, you're revealing something to me. You're doing something in my heart. Every creature unique in the song that it sings. Just the bird song. Have you ever just stopped and listened? It's deafening. All of it exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. I'm getting goosebumps. Amazing God. Amazing God. When you look at things like this, when you remember great views or just wonderful moments like that. You just know that God's got his fingerprints all over it, don't you? He also made it known by having it written down, the recorded words of God, and it originates with the Ten Commandments. And what's going on there? Well, God is wanting to speak to us in ways that we can understand. And in the writing down of the commandments on the tablets of stone, God was stooping down and he was accommodating himself to us, this phenomenal being, this power, this personal God, finding a way to communicate with the likes of us. It's like a father stoops down to talk to his child and speaks in ways that the child can understand. So that will be small words, short sentences, but things that mean something. He's accommodating himself to this child. It's the same deal with God. That's what he's doing. He's accommodating himself to us. The reformist Luther, he said, God speaks to us in low ways. And that's not Luther saying God's being patronizing. No, he's saying he's communicating with us in ways that we, in our humanity, can understand. And the Bible is a record of God's words to mankind, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Have a look at this scripture in 2 Peter. It says this: no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He is the living word. It's a living word, superintended by the Holy Spirit, coming alive to you and to me here and now. He wants to make witness to himself, to Jesus, for your sake, so that we can know him and be known by him. So the likes of you and me, when you read this scripture, the likes of you and me, we are in these last days, this last chapter, if you like, of his story. And this passage says that Jesus is the now communication, the now communication for us. Oh, and by the way, he's holding all things together by the word of his power. Hang on a second. So you're saying that God is holding all of this together, right? You know, the earth spinning on its axis in this complex universe. Yes, just look at the human genome. You know, the DNA, we can see there's order in there somewhere. But there are things about what the scientists see there that they just cannot make head or tail of. No idea what it is. It kind of looks chaotic, but that's probably not true. It's phenomenally ordered. This is the revelation of God. We look at the evil in the world today, even, gosh, this last term, switch on the television and you see it, and we try to work it out. But does this mean that he's not in control? Does it mean that? He doesn't just create and then walk away. He's involved. He's not just intervening either, but he's around us and not far from any of us. Right from the beginning of time, he says to Adam, he says, look, you're going to reflect who I am. I want you to bring order. I want you to show what I'm like. I want you to display my character and my morality. And even when man turned away from him, he kept speaking. Maybe this morning, here's a personal interjection here. Maybe this morning, you've written off the idea that God wants to speak to you. Just throwing it out there. Maybe you've written that off with new direction, fresh faith, perhaps greater hope for something. Is that you this morning? Do you know that you can receive a now word from God this morning that will go straight to your heart to do you good? Do you know that's true this morning? I believe it is, and I believe many of us will be experiencing that a little bit later on. He's faithful and loving and willing. If you open your heart to him, he will speak. He will. Not in some abstract way, but as a father. It's good news. As one who delights in you, because that is who he is. Let's just have a brief scan showing some of the ways in which we can be sure that God has spoken to mankind. I just want to do this very, very high level, but I want you to see how God, in his speaking to mankind, has steadily improved the circumstances for us, the agreement, the covenant that he is making with us. Let's just take Noah. Okay, so here we go. After Adam and the fall, things get really bad, and God decides, okay, I'm going to start again. I'm going to wipe out humanity. But he chooses to communicate with this guy, Noah. And we know about the story with the ark and the animals, and then the flood, and then finally the dove comes back with a little sprig of life, and things start again. Has anybody seen the film Noah? What a rubbish film. Please don't bother. Don't waste your time. Absolutely awful. Total waste of time. It's rubbish. So I could go on. Anyway, that's what happens with Noah. God makes a promise to Noah and to mankind. He promises with the rainbow, I'm never going to flood the earth again. I'm going to start a new thing. Then there's Abraham. He's the father of all nations, blessed. And God says to him, look, I'm going to bless you so that all nations get blessed, and other people will be blessed. There'll be land, there'll be inheritance, and it's expanded to the whole universe. So he ups the game. He's going to bring blessing, not just life, but blessing to mankind. And then we have Moses. He gives the law. God gives the law, revealing not just his standards, which are phenomenally up there, but his character. He wants to show us, he wants to show mankind how different he is. He wants to communicate his holiness, his purity. And he says, come into line with non-fallenness. And as we know, that you just look at the Ten Commandments and you think, whoops, fallen. And that's a reality for us. We look at God's standard and it cannot be met through our humanity. But we know, don't we, that it can be met and it is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. More of that in a minute. Then there's the Davidic agreement with David. He says, with you, David, I'm going to establish a throne forever. How? He says, look at this rulership that you have, this kingship. There is going to be a descendant in your line that will rule on this throne forever. He will pick this up and rule with it forever. You know, you can follow the line, the genealogy of Jesus, and root it back to King David. So another promise fulfilled, and the promise of someone to come who will be on the throne forever. The faithfulness of God is getting louder, and it's getting clearer. Contrast that to the unfaithfulness of his people, us spiraling out of control. But the promise that he is going to send one who will cause holiness, to spring up within us, that is mind-blowing. Do you know that if you're a Christian this morning, holiness springs up in your heart? When you became a Christian, God took out your old heart, the one that was rebellious and stony and cold, and he gave you a new heart, one that is warm to him and responsive to him and is pleasing to him because of his son, Jesus Christ. This is phenomenally good news this morning, and it's through Jesus that we begin to see it. And then there's another covenant, the new covenant, an extraordinary promise, which I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah right now. Let's bring that up. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. This is what we live under. This is what we come under, this promise. It's phenomenal. It's an established agreement. You can trust him because of this. You can. Sins forgiven. Desires and longings changed. Jesus picks up this promise and he talks to his disciples about it. And he says this when he's having his last supper. Let's see the scripture. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So this covenant that's prophesied in Jeremiah, Jesus takes a hold of it and he says, I am the new promise. This is me. The promise is in my blood. He speaks about it with his disciples. God chooses to remember our sins no more. Wow, that's so good. That is so good. He takes us from fallenness to foundness. I love that. From fallenness to foundness. These scriptures are old and they are ancient, but they are also alive. And he speaks personally right to us, right into our hearts. And more than that, he's a listening God. He's a hearing God. Just look at this next scripture in Exodus. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. God is determined to stand alongside us in our humanity and all of its hassles, and we can be assured that the Bible is the living word and he hears the cry of our hearts. Do you think that God hears the cry of your heart this morning? Let me answer with a resounding yes, he does. He's committed to standing alongside you. We come into relationship with the God of the universe because of the sacrifice of the perfect mediation of Jesus Christ. We get God's ear. He's restored that great gap, that divide. Jesus has made a way for us to come close to the God of the universe. And he goes on speaking, even after the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, we can know the personal whisperings of the Helper. I spoke earlier about us being a church that honours the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, who is with us now. If you're a Christian, you've got him right inside of you. He also loves to be with his people. He loves to glorify, point at, honour, love Jesus, to get our attention fixed towards this one in whom we trust. That is what he does. This deal where we get the Holy Spirit, sometimes we just enjoy his whisperings, don't we? Sometimes he can be a bit louder in our ears. Is that your experience? That's my experience. I kind of feel like when I'm being nudged by the Holy Spirit about something, it gets a bit louder, particularly if I'm thinking, did I just hear a whisper about something I don't fancy doing? Gets a bit louder. And have a little look at this scripture here. Paul and Silas and Timothy, it says this, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I wonder how loud the Holy Spirit was in Paul's ear then. We don't really know why, but let me suggest to you this morning that perhaps the Holy Spirit is in your face because it's the mercy of God to you. He doesn't want you to do this or to do that. He wants you just to hold and think, what am I hearing? Are my ears open to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we can hear God and be in danger of hardening our hearts. And I'm just going to come to a close now. We're going to move the meeting on and respond, because I know that what God wants to do this morning is to speak right into hearts. Have a look at this scripture in Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Did you know that when you hear the whispering of the Holy Spirit, you can blank him? Do you know that? It's possible. But when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you need your ears wide open. He's always got good for you. He's always got something for you that will do the condition of your heart so much good. Do you believe that this morning? We've got a personal God. He's a speaking God. He wants to communicate with every heart in this room. And he'll do it in different ways. He'll do it when we're singing songs in worship. He'll be doing it right now as we give ourselves to the teaching of the word. He'll do it in a minute when Danny gets up and I ask him a question. He'll do it out there when we're taking down the gear. He'll do it when you're having lunch. He'll do it when we respond in communion and taking communion together. He'll speak to your heart. Sometimes he does it publicly and people come and say, I've got this word of knowledge, this thing that I feel like God is speaking and he wants to communicate it to someone in this room. Let's not despise it. Let's love it. Let's welcome it. Let's receive it. More of that, please, Lord. If you're someone who's regularly feeling like God is speaking to you in a public setting, come on, come to the front. Let's enjoy what God has for us. I want to nurture a culture of hearing God in the now for us. And what is wonderful about that is that God unlocks hearts where hearts are locked up for one reason or another. A now word, a word that comes and just releases and unlocks heart, of whether it's pain or fear. Those things are not needed. They're not desired in our hearts, in our human heart. We don't want those. There's no room for those things. We want God to unlock situations and circumstances, and we want to know the Holy Spirit is helping us with that. We can look at the scripture and we can easily miss Jesus. You might ask, well, why do we need the word, you know, if we've got the Spirit? Why? Jesus is the word, and the word is the final authority. And that means that the Bible, this book that we have in our fingertips, it's essential. Being a Christian, you cannot know Jesus without knowing the Bible. That sounds like quite a bold statement, but I want to stick my neck out there and say this is a reality. Yes, Christianity is about a person, but we can't know him without knowing the confirming word of God. It's both. It's both and. Let's learn to love this scripture. Let's learn to love God's communication to us. Let's learn to love the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Danny, why don't you just jump up here? Just want to be really practical. We've got 10 minutes or so to respond. To be honest, let's just see what happens, eh? I really believe that God wants to do work in our lives this morning, as he did in the 9. Fantastic. And I interviewed Kat Redwood, some of you might know Kat, and just asked her one or two questions about her experience of the Word of God, what it means to you, how you use it in your life. So Danny, why don't you just help us? We're going to need you've got a microphone, great. So the question is, how do you use the Word of God? What has it meant to you? And just how is it shaping your life? That kind of thing.
That's an easy question. okay, how do I use it? Right, when I, the background to how I use it is some years ago I made a decision, and it was a decision of the head and then of the heart, to accept that it was God's word. So it wasn't just a sort of a spiritual book. I thought this is the word of God, and I made a decision that what everything I read in it was true, which sounds a bit daft, but that really helped me put a foundation down thinking, okay, this is all good stuff. So I read regularly. I try to read from front to back. And even when it gets difficult, I sort of work through in that way. So that's a sort of foundation thing that goes on throughout my week. But each time I read it, I ask God to speak to me through it. And I found that actually makes a massive difference. I ask the Holy Spirit to say, you know, what do you want to show me through it? And no matter what part of the Bible I'm in, even if it's in some of the difficult books like Leviticus and Numbers and stuff that you think, man, this is just lists of genealogies and things, God still speaks to me through those different things. So I use it in that way. It's like a compass and a map. I now do base my life and my future on what God says in it. I love it. Actually, it is like a food. Also, sounds a bit daft, but I find I get strength from it, from the Bible. So, yeah, I ask God, speak to me through it. Shall I continue? Okay, right. Okay, there's a bit that I love and it helps me enormously in John where Jesus has been with his disciples. It's not long before he's crucified. And he says to them, there's a lot I want to tell you. He said, but it's just so much, you can't bear it right now. Now, these guys had been with him for 2 or 3 years. You would think that he would have told them everything about the kingdom and about God. But what it shows me is that God really wants to speak to us. It's not a case of he'll be there if we want to have a chat. He has stuff he wants to tell us, even now. And that really excites me, is that when I pick up the Bible, he is very keen to talk to me. And I love that because he knows everything and I know next to nothing. So it's a real win situation for me. So I love the fact that it's true, or I believe it to be true, and that he is very keen to talk to me through it.
That, Daniel, is superb.
Is that okay?
Thank you. Let's thank him. So what I want you to take from that is be encouraged. Danny's not giving you a list of, right, now you've got to do this, this and this. He's just saying, look, this word is alive. It's living. It's active. And when you read it and ask God to speak to you, enjoy walking along in life, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you, your life will change. It will. It's not going to suddenly be free of hassles, because we get those, and there's some more coming tomorrow. But what God wants to say to us this morning is that he loves us, and his Holy Spirit will speak to us and shape us and change us. Why don't we just stand together, Andy, if you want to come up and join me. We've got some time just to respond, and I do want us to take communion together, but I just feel it'd be great to really ask God to speak to us. Why don't you do that personally? I wonder whether you would be bold enough to ask God to speak to you this morning. It's a big ask. It's a bold thing to do. Maybe you're right at the start of your Christian journey. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. What a great habit to get into right off from the start. Speak to me, God. Maybe you've battled with this kind of stuff for years and it's felt like a mental block. Just believe God's got release for lots of us this morning. He wants to unstop ears that are perhaps caught in unbelief, some kind of barrier. We're going to worship together and we're going to take communion and we're just going to see what happens, to be honest. Is that all right? I hope that's okay. Let's worship together.